Hi, and welcome to the Charge Forward Coaching Podcast. Today, we have an extraordinary guest who embodies a spirit of resilience and success. Gina DiBedetto is a powerhouse entrepreneur and a devoted parent whose journey is nothing short of inspiring. Hi, I'm your host, James Blasco, and today we will follow Gina from her early days of entrepreneurial curiosity to building multiple thriving businesses, and how Gina has faced and conquered numerous challenges. But that's not all. She also has been deeply involved in her children's athletic endeavors, which include barrel racing, dancing, gymnastics, witnessing firsthand the incredible physical, mental, and emotional benefits of each sport. In this episode, we'll uncover the secrets behind Gina's success, the pivotal moments that shaped her path, and the lessons she's learned along the way. We're also going to explore how her children's athletic passions have played a transformative role in their lives, offering insights that every parent and athlete can benefit from. Whether you're looking to elevate your entrepreneurial game, support your child's athletic dreams, or simply find motivation to reach your own peak performance, this conversation is packed with valuable takeaways. So buckle up, get ready for an inspiring ride, and let's welcome Gina to the show.
Thank you, James. How are you?
Good. So, you know, you've been involved with more than just the beauty salon. You've been involved with the Mezzaluna restaurants and your businesses up north and down here. You have an amazing story.
I grew up in an Italian family, and my parents owned a deli and pizzeria. So at a very young age, I was going to work with my dad early in the morning, and I was around 7 years old when he was like, all right, it's time. He's like, put some salami on the slicer and put the guard down and was like, all right, don't cut your finger off. And that's pretty much how it all started. Shortly after that, he did not believe in the change button on the cash register, right? So this, I'm standing up there and he would slowly teach me how to count back change. And this man handed me a $50 bill and he's like, all right, figure it out. And we sat there until I figured it out. And that was pretty much the beginning of my work ethic, so to speak. At a very young age, I realized that I had this special gift and this insane interest to cut hair and to make people feel beautiful. Maybe because I didn't back then, I don't know, but I just loved cutting hair, shaping hair. And when I was around 11 years old, I was babysitting for the neighbors, and she was a hairdresser, and she urged me to come work at her salon. So I went to my dad and I was like, listen, I want to go work at this hair salon. And he was like, well, you still have you have priorities here at the deli. So I decided to work extra hours so I could then on Saturdays go work at the salon. And that's kind of where the journey all began. And then from there, I wanted to go to beauty school. And my dad was like, listen, you're the smartest one in the family. You're the only shot we have at anybody going to college. So I'm not sure that, you're going to be a hairdresser, make $200 a week. And I was like, Dad, no, it's different. Trust me. And so he's like, well, if you can figure out a way to go to college and get your license, we'll think about it. So I went to the principal and I pitched him my story. And he was like, all right, well, you can go to college classes at night and then you can still get your Regents diploma. So you could still go to college, but you could attend BOCES and get your license while you're in high school. So we called my dad into the office and he was still against it. And I was like, listen, I can go to college. And if I get my license, I can work anywhere, anytime. So while I'm in college, I can make money, Dad. And the principal was like, you really can't argue with her, Mike. And he was like, all right, fine, do it. So I got my license. I went to BOCES and then I got accepted into Coastal Carolina University. And that was the beginning of the best 4 years of my life. I went to college for finance. I ended up, because of things were a little complicated at the end, I got a degree in business with a background in finance. And then I shortly after went home and started my journey where I was working in a restaurant. What do you do after college, right? So I went to work in a restaurant and my mom said, my hairdresser is the best one in New York. You should go talk to Brenda. She'll give you a job. So I did. And she was like, all right, you can be my assistant. And she's like, just, bring somebody in and show me a haircut. So I showed her a haircut and she was like, okay, you're ready for the floor. You are so ready. So simultaneously, I was hired by a company in Westchester to go work finance. I forget the name of the company at this point, but I had to study for my Series 7, and then if I passed, I would go start working down there. So in the meantime, I was just working at the restaurant. I was working at the salon, trying to, you know, figure out my life. And they sent me to this class for the Series 7, and I will never forget sitting in the back of the room, and all I could think about was the girl in front of me's hair. I was like, this is I gotta fix it. So of course, by lunchtime, we became best friends. Next thing you know, we're at the beauty supply store buying hair color. I'm in her kitchen, and I transformed her life. And I realized in that moment that this is really, truly what I was meant to do. So I went home, had the really hard conversation with my dad, and was like, listen, I can do what I love and make money, and I need you to trust me. And he's like, you have to make yourself happy. You can't live your life for me. You have to live your life for you. And that was the first time I really realized that I had the support system. He pushed me, and I thought I had to do what they wanted, but they were still pushing me to make my own decisions. And I quit the company and went to work full time. And within 6 months, I was just as busy as my boss. And, you know, from there, I set a goal. And within 5 years, I wanted to own my own business. And when I was 26, I opened up my first salon, which was Chow Bella Salon and Spa. And that's where it all began.
That's an amazing and funny story. And kind of two thoughts come to mind hearing that. You know, I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs, and most say, it's very similar to what you said, you know, they kind of stumble into this thing that they end up, you know, falling in love with and pursuing. And as they move forward, they realize that, you know what? I think this is the thing I really want to pursue and give 100% and even devote my life to. So when that happens, and it definitely sounds like it happened to you, what does that feel like?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, kind of like falling in love. Like when you know, you know, you know, not necessarily in that respect, but it's kind of simultaneous. Like, I mean, you can convince yourself of things, but in your heart and soul, if you really, truly listen to your gut and learn to listen to yourself, it's all right there. And then there's these moments that are like, okay, so I went through the motions and I did all the things, but it just kept bringing me back to that starting point, which was like, I had the opportunity and a gift to not only, you know, make people feel good. Like, and it wasn't on my terms. It wasn't what I thought looked good. You know, I mean, the information was in my brain, but it was what an amazing gift to be able to make people feel good about themselves. Not, again, not what I'm wanting for them, but they're standing up like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know I needed that. So it's really kind of tapping into your intuition and really trusting yourself, trusting your gut.
It really sounds like you found a purpose in this more than just, you know, going after a goal or a career or anything like that. It's a bigger thing, and that it's a purpose in your life. And that's amazing. I know you've been involved with other businesses outside of just the beauty salons. I know you've been involved with Mezzaluna and the restaurants here in Florida. So I also grew up in a restaurant business. I know what that's like. It's a very difficult business. I had my own restaurant for a couple of years. And, you know, it gets to a point when, you know, things become a challenge and you're pursuing a dream or a goal. And you may not even know that you have what it takes. You may not even know what it's going to take. But, you know, there's a book out there written by Dr. Benjamin Hardy. It's called 10 times is easier than 2 times. And I won't give the whole book away, but it talks about when you're setting a goal, establishing a goal, you should make it like almost an impossible goal. When you look at it, I don't even know if I could do this, but I'm going to set my sights really high. Has that mentality played a big role in what you've been trying to accomplish?
Oh yeah. Well, when we opened Mezzaluna, there was a hair cuttery next door, and I used to say all the time, if hair cuttery would just go out of business, like I could have my salon next to my restaurant, everything would just be great. You know, and I said this for years. Well, fast forward, COVID happens, and simultaneously I was going through a divorce, so it was a little bit of a trying time. Right after the divorce was final, hair cuttery went out of business. And the management company called me and said, this salon is turnkey if you want it. And there was zero question marks. It was like, I got to figure this out. And one of my friends was like, there's no way that you can't not do this. I'm like, yeah, but I, you know, like I have to, I'm going through a divorce. I have this, I have that. They're like, don't even think about it. Just do it. Everything will fall into place. And the next day he showed up with a bag of money and he was like, here's the deposit. Now you can't say anything. You can pay me back, but I'm going to help you and you have to do this. And little did I know he wanted to date me. Fast forward 4 years later, we're still together, but he was the strength in that pillar that just like said, and I truly believe that God always puts somebody or whatever, whoever you believe in, so to speak, always puts somebody in your life to, when you're really questioning it, to just kind of like put the pieces together. And Bella G's Beauty Lounge was born. And so for the longest time, I was doing both. I was running the restaurant and the salon, which that was when I definitely probably lost my mind a little bit. A little bit.
So what did you learn from that experience? I know you didn't do it for a super long time, but long enough. I mean, what was kind of going through your head during that time?
Dear God, please carry me through this day. Please let everybody show up to work and let's let this flow. And I knew that I was enough in the salon to keep it going, right? So everything else was a bonus. And I started out thinking, all right, maybe if I just rent the space, then, you know, it'll have money coming in. And I did that for a little while. And I realized, like, that's not the culture that I really love. Like, I truly love having people coming and working for me, me helping them, me teaching them, and, you know, giving them all of the tools and the knowledge that I was, you know, I was given and learned along the way. And so slowly but surely, I started to weed out the renters. And now I have, you know, I have an amazing team behind me. And what my true passion is teaching. You know, I love to bring, and that's what I did in the first business, is I bring these young girls right in from school and teach them my way. And, you know, I have so many amazing people that have brought into my life, and, you know, four or five phenomenal success stories. And when I started to change and do that here, that's when it all changed for me.
So in helping others and working with other people, and there's those individuals that kind of step up and you realize, you know what, they have dreams like me, they have goals, they have ambitions, and it appears like they're willing to work hard too. And maybe one day they'll have their own business, their own salon, and they'll move forward and they're inspired by what you've done. How does that make you feel when you go to bed at night? You know that you've played a role, not only in, you know, helping them learn a skill, but also inspiring them. How does that make you feel at night when you put your head on the pillow?
I mean, I'm so humbled to be able to do that, right? And it takes a certain level of patience, and you have to really be in tune with people, right? Because not everybody learns the same way. So I try to really like watch them and see how they learn. Like I'll ask a certain question and see if that sparks something inside of them. And, you know, I did the same thing in the restaurant. You know, I'd bring in some of these younger kids and I'd have them, you know, be my busser. You know, we didn't necessarily need a busser. Well, I mean, I always need help. I need a full staff when I'm doing anything that's right there because I get overwhelmed. I'm talking to this one, that one, like you can fill up the Pepsis. I got the rest. Okay. But you know, I realized that by teaching them the ways that my dad had taught me was inspiring to them. And it really kind of gave them this whole other outlook on they're doing more than just serving soda. They're having the opportunity to actually wait on tables and talk to people and learn and grow. And, you know, in the salon, it's a little bit different. They're watching me, but they're also like getting to touch people and talk to people and learn from them. And it is in a world where today's youth is a little bit entitled. It's very scary. You know, the way that they're learning and the way that, you know, with all the social media and all that, the devices and stuff, you know, it brings them back to that old school way, you know, where you're focusing just on the customer, you're able to connect with them. And it's a much bigger gift than, you know, than it's even, what's the word I'm looking for? There's more to be said for that.
So looking at everything that you've accomplished and that you're going to accomplish, because I know you still have much bigger goals out there. Typically, when you speak to individuals who have achieved anything, anything big, there's three things that stand out that they have or they've learned to have, and that is mental toughness, focus, and perseverance. And those always jump out in almost every conversation I have with an athlete or an entrepreneur or anybody going after big goals. What do those three terms mean to you, and how have they impacted your experiences as you chase your goals?
Absolutely. I mean, mental toughness is probably the hardest one for me because I do everything with my heart. You know, that is, and I mean, I go to a therapist, thank God. That's where the mental toughness really, really helps. But she's always says, like, business and your heart is two different things. But I don't know how to do it any different. You know, I was given this gift and I'm able to like do what I love every day. And I don't know how to separate my heart from these people. And I think I got that from my dad because, like I said, when you came to work for us, you became part of the family. You know, whatever it is that you needed, you got. So I think that part, I've had my heart ripped out of my chest a million times by people that I truly brought in and loved and things didn't end up working out. And then I've watched, you know, so many success stories and people just move on and open their own business and be successful and get married and have babies and all the things that they wanted. And I mean, that's probably the best gift that you could be given. So as far as mental toughness, it's definitely probably my, I wouldn't say my weakness, but I'm working on that.
These things are a process, like I said. So how about focus? I mean, in a world where we're distracted by a million different things all day long, everybody is, how important is it to master, you know, focusing, giving your attention 100% to what's most important each day that will help you work towards your goal?
Well, and this is a conversation. I actually just had a meeting the other day with my girls and I said, listen, you know, there's so many outer distractions. When you come in this door, put that phone down. It doesn't matter what's going on. Make this your safe place. You know, we're dealing with people. We're dealing with chemicals. Like, you have to be completely focused and able to, you know, make the right decisions. So when it comes down to it, I think that leaving all that other stuff aside, eventually we have to pick up the phones because now social media, like, you know, there's reels and there's this and there's that. And this is what kind of like promotes your business. But while you're working, put that phone down, connect with your person, stand in front of them. I tell them, stand in front of your client. Don't stand behind them in the chair and have a conversation. Stand in front of them. Ask them how they're feeling. Ask them what, you know, where do you want to go? You have the opportunity to now make this person feel good. And how are you going to do that? Without focus, you can't do that.
And then lastly, perseverance. You know, one of the things that stops most people from achieving their goals, big or small, is they stop at some point. Something, you know, pushes them to a point where they just can't see the finish line and they kind of give up or do give up. Perseverance is such an important thing in success. How do you view perseverance in the success that you've had?
Well, not being successful is not an option. So it starts there. You know, in my mind, not being successful is not an option. So I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get through the day. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to go where, you know, I want to go. I have two daughters that are watching me every single day. And if I stop or I give up, what am I teaching them? So not only that, I have a team behind me. I'm leading, you know, four or five women and they're relying on me. They rely on me to, you know, for the success of the business. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, if you can take the time to look inside of yourself and work on the things that are not working, you can always get through anything. That's part of the perseverance, is really truly holding yourself accountable and educating yourself and always trying to get better.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. So you brought up children earlier, and I know you have two daughters, and one was a fantastic gymnast. Now I believe she's into horse riding and barrel racing, and the other is a dancer. So tell us a little bit about what they have going on.
Gymnast is now the horseback rider. And she's a barrel racer, I guess. I know nothing about this stuff. So my little one is a dancer. But so it all kind of started with gymnastics. I always brought them to like an open gym, mommy gym. My older daughter just fell in love with gymnastics and decided to join the team. I think she was like six years old. And she was phenomenal. One of the gymnastics events, she scored a perfect 10 on bars at ESPN. I mean, this kid was just, whatever she set her mind to, she was unstoppable. And then things started to change. We actually went to visit one of my dearest friends. She took her riding, and she left that trip just completely in love, wanting to ride horses. So I started bringing her for some lessons and stuff like that. And then, I mean, truth be told, we went through a divorce, and that kind of was where she started to change. Like, and I was feeling guilty over this. Like, is this, you know, is it because of what we're going through right now? You know? So I had us all in therapy. We did all the things, but you know, through that, she really truly realized that she loved riding horses. And when I tell you this kid, I go up with her and there's, she rides up at the Florida Agricultural Museum. And so we have to do a feed shift. There's 17 horses in the main herd. She walks in there like she owns the joint. I mean, she's smacking these little babies on the butt. Next thing you know, they're all running. They do whatever she says. Me, I'm hiding. I'm hiding in the stall. I was like, oh my God, I don't know anything about horses. But here I am mucking stalls and you know, doing a feed shift because, you know, that's what my kid loves. And so she, on her own, made the decision to leave gymnastics and go to horseback riding full time. And I think that, you know, I couldn't be more proud of her for making that decision, because it was such a difficult decision. You know, those people from gymnastics, those are the people that she grew up with. And that was her home for the longest time. And it was a really difficult decision to make, to walk away from that. But it's just not where her heart was anymore. So I'm her biggest, you know, biggest fan. I mean, I couldn't be more proud of her.
That is a big, mature decision. That's very, very impressive. So when children are participating in athletics on a team or individually or anything they're committed to, what important role does that play in their lives as they move forward?
Huge. Well, first, commitment. Like, you have to make a commitment, right? And I mean, when Josie was doing gymnastics, she was committed, fully committed. But to make that decision, it just, you know, the maturity level is amazing. But, you know, you're part of a team. You're part of a team. So it's not just about you. It's about, you know, you don't want to let your team down. As far as my little one, I didn't get to talk about that real, but I want to just touch on that real quick. I used to bring her to gymnastics all the time, and she would run around and she was like, you know, doing cartwheels. And there was no grace anywhere. We were like, I don't know what this kid's going to do. She just marched the beat of her own drum from the day she was born in a tutu, jumping all over the place, and didn't have a care in the world. And then I picked her up from pre-K and she said to me, "Mom, my friend goes to hip hop at Mia Bella Academy Dance on Mondays at 5. I need you to sign me up and bring me." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So what did I do? I signed her up at Mia Bella and I brought her to hip hop. And shortly after that, all these teachers are running out of the room one day and they're like, "Would you let her be on the team?" And I'm like, "Absolutely not. There's no way. I got a kid traveling gymnastics. You know, there's no way." They're like, "We will help you. Just let us work with her a little bit." So I finally said yes. We went to our first dance competition ever. Now, I've never danced a day in my life. I know nothing about this. So we had to get there, do the makeup, do the hair. And I have no idea what's in store for me. All I know is I sat in that audience and she came on that stage and I could not stop crying. I mean, I watched her come alive on that stage. And it was the most beautiful thing that I have ever seen in my life. And I just knew that whatever she needed, whatever she wanted, from this point on, we were going. And now she's my 401k because I've invested in dance. And to this day, she is nonstop at dance 24/7 and is just absolutely thriving. So to answer the question, I just think truly doing what they love. And, you know, I'm not the mom that's in there saying, oh, you have to do this. I'm not there to argue with the coach. You know, I'm going to be my kid's advocate. But at the end of the day, like, you know, be tough on them. They have to respect you, respect your elders, listen to your coaches, be part of a team. I don't want to hear about any of the gossipy craziness. Like, just go in there and do your best. And if you're doing your best, that's the most important thing. And if you don't get where you want to go, then work as hard as you have to get where you need to go.
Yeah, that's tremendous advice. And no surprise, your children are that way coming from you. So as we wrap up here, just kind of two questions. Number one, tell us a little bit about your next opportunity, adventure, goal that's coming up. I know you already started working on that. And also, you know, let folks know out there what it would take for them as they achieve or try to achieve their goals and move forward. Maybe some goal they fell in love with, some opportunity, and they've decided, I want to do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't even know if I can do it. What advice would you give to them?
So I decided one night at midnight when I had got home from the restaurant and the salon that I was going to start my own product line. I had done it in New York, and then I just had this thing inside of me that that's what I needed to do. So of course I started the whole process, and Bella G's product line was born. I don't own the IP of it, which means that at any given point that they can change the formula. And I was starting to get like really frustrated, and I have some connections and friends that wanted to buy it for their salon. And so I sat with my boyfriend and he's like, why don't we just open our own company? And so I was like, you know what, let's do it. So from there, we decided to go direct to manufacturer. We are now in the midst of creating our own product line. It will be a luxury brand. We will be able to sell anywhere. We can sell in Sephora. We can sell to any salon. And we're kind of taking a melting pot of all the mythological colors and cultures and bringing them together. I can't give you all the details just yet, but it's in the process of being born. We will have a launch when it's ready. It's called Mythology, but mymythology.com will be our website, which hopefully will be up and running in the next few months. So you could start to see the theory and the products behind it. But it's going to be all about empowering women. From there, we have a men's line coming, and who knows what will be born from there.
That is awesome. Looking forward to that launching. What would you tell somebody in your words to have a big goal and they come to you and say, should I go for it? I mean, there's a lot of risk. I'm already comfortable here doing this, that, or the other thing. What should I do? Should I do it?
Don't ever stop. Blur out that noise, blur out that doubt, listen to your heart and your gut and do it. Just do it. Don't stop. Keep going. You're going to get kicked in the gut a million times. And don't let that change you or harden your heart. Let it fuel you. Let it fuel you to be better. Because if you truly believe in yourself, it's going to happen. What you put out in the universe and what you manifest is yours. Like this product line that I'm doing is going to be successful. It is successful. There's no doubt. Anything other than that is not an option. You know, and I tell my girls that when you step on stage, you just go in there and you believe in yourself and you dance your little heart out. When you get on that horse, wrap yourself in white light and do what God has, you know, made you to do. And it doesn't matter. Even if you don't get where you want to go today, work as hard as you need to get where you want to go. But you have to truly love yourself and believe that you can do it.
That is fantastic. This has been a great show, Jeannie. You have an amazing story. I appreciate so much being on the show. Thank you for your wisdom and sharing that story with us. And for all you out there, please subscribe to the Charge Forward Coaching Podcast. Like it, share it, all that good stuff. And stay tuned. We have more great guests that are going to be on the show in the near future. So keep charging and have a great day.